And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. The most beautiful, I don't say that lightly, the most beautiful state in the nation. That would be this one. I'm talking about Alabama. And listen, y'all, I'm saying this show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. I tell you what else, who else has some major ground they cover, and that's our friends at Southern Immediate Care. Southern Immediate Care, y'all, we're proud to have them as a sponsor. I know the owner of the chain. He is indeed a right side ruffian, and their clinics cover much of our listening area. They got locations like in Gadsden, Anniston, Atala, five locations around the Birmingham area, Chelsea and Hoover being the two newest ones. And I'm just saying, folks, they're open 7 days a week. I mean, if you wake up on a Saturday morning, the kid's got a fever, what do? Southern Immediate Care. They're there. Find the location nearest to you and go check them out. But this is who I use personally, and I've been using them a lot longer than they've been advertising on the show. In fact, I was proud to get them on because I've been using them already. Every time I've walked in the door of one of a Southern Immediate Care facilities, it's always been clean, professional, friendly. You can get your shots right there on site. You can get your x-rays right there on site. They'll see all ages, pediatric to geriatric. Listen, Southern Immediate Care, you find the nearest location to you, check them out if you need them. They will take care of you. And do me a favor, tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. All right, well, listen, this is a break in the show. I am pleased that we have an opportunity, just spur of the moment here, to have one of the members of our congressional delegation call in. That's Congressman Gary Palmer, who just came off the floor of the House for votes and earlier today voted for a new Speaker of the House. And he is actually on the line with us right now. Congressman Palmer, how you doing, sir?
I'm good, Phil. Thanks for having me on what I consider a really great day for our country.
Well, I'm hearing good things. I mean, I'll be honest with you, my listeners, most of us don't know who Representative Johnson is, Speaker Johnson is. But apparently you and other members of what I would consider to be the conservative aspect of our House are pretty enthused.
Well, Mike and I have known each other a long time. I mean, before we even came to Congress, back when I ran the Alabama Policy Institute, and as you know, very involved in the pro-family issues. And Mike worked for a group called Alliance Defending Freedom.
Right.
They're the folks who, as you know, defend people who are sued by the atheist groups, and they really advanced our Judeo-Christian principles. And he was also involved with the Family Policy Council in Louisiana. About the only bad thing I can say about him is he's an LSU fan. But he is one of the smartest people I've ever met. He's a constitutional lawyer. His emotions don't get the best of him. He's very level-headed. And if you heard his speech today, he is a fantastic communicator of our values. And I think the American people are going to like Mike Johnson.
Well, I tell you what, it's hugely encouraging to hear, because I was sitting here from afar, not knowing him. I mean, there are certain names I know. I was excited to see your name in the hat the other day. I was excited when Jim Jordan was running. I know of and like from afar Byron Donalds, but I'd never heard of Mike Johnson. That being said, everybody that I kind of lean on to give me perspectives is saying that he looks like Clark Kent, but he might really be a conservative Superman, is what it sounds like.
Well, I'll tell him that.
Okay.
I can get him the T-shirt. Yeah. But Mike is part of leadership, part of the elected leadership. He was the vice chairman of the conference committee and has done a really good job. Prior to that, he was chairman of the Republican Study Committee, which I'm a member of, and he and I have worked very well together. Everything he's done exceptionally well. This is an enormous task, though, but people really need to be covering him in prayer, because I promise you, he will come under attack. We had after the vote, we had a press conference on the steps east side of the Capitol for the media, and we weren't taking any questions, and a reporter immediately runs up and wants to ask him, did he think, wanted to bring up some issues from the past. And the media up here is really another arm of the Democratic Party.
Yeah.
And Mike just, it just rolls right off of him. So I think he's the exact right guy for the job. Before we had our candidate forum Monday night, I'd gotten into the race. Reason I got in was because there were some things that I felt like that the conference needed to hear and we needed to have a full and open discussion about. And it wasn't going to happen unless I got in a race. And I literally didn't submit my name until 7 minutes before the deadline. And my objective was to get out some ideas and solutions to keep us from on the appropriation side from running into these fiscal cliffs every year and winding up passing a bunch of omnibus bills. So what I've recommended, and I just talked to Kit Roy on the floor, and Mike Johnson's on board with this, is under the Congressional Budget Act, we're supposed to pass appropriations by June 30th, but there's no enforcement in it. And you, as a former state senator, know if you don't put enforcement in a bill, it doesn't get done.
That's exactly right.
So I'm making three changes to that bill, to the Congressional Budget Act. One, we're not going to wait on the presidential budget. We throw it in trash anyway. We're not going to say that appropriations bills don't come to the floor until May 15th. What we're going to do is we're going to eliminate that. We're going to say if the appropriations bills are not passed by June 30th, no other legislation can be considered on the floor other than appropriations.
There you go. There you go.
And my thinking is if the subcommittee chair is ready to bring their bill out, they can bring it out in April as far as I'm concerned. But we've got to have them done by June 30th. Then we'll give the Senate 30 days to get the bills back to us. And if they don't, we will not take up any legislation originating from the Senate on the floor of the House until the Senate gets their appropriations bills over. If they're not done by the end of July, we don't have the August break. If they're not done by September 30th, we have a self-executing continuing resolution with a 1% cut across the board. I might exempt defense and veterans, which I think I will. I'll have some pushback. I might have a little pushback, but I think that's the right thing to do, particularly considering the situation around the world. And that will go through April 15th. So we have no more short-term CRs that expire right before Thanksgiving or right before Christmas because they think they can push us to the edge of a cliff and hold us hostage. That's got to stop.
Listen, Congressman, you just described a whole new day if y'all can get that that amendment put on. I'll be honest with you, I think the point that's going to drive the train more is telling them they can't have the August break. If you do that, there's going to be members of Congress that are going to be having a fit because they're not getting to go to their homes or their home districts for the month of August. I think that's on the money, and I'm excited to hear that. And you're saying he's on board with that. Let me ask you this. I got to ask. So his name was not in the hat up front, but everybody that I'm hearing is now pretty pleased with who he is. Why was he so long to put his name in the hat? Did he have to be recruited to the job? Was he just too humble to put his name in up front? What's the deal?
Well, he is a very humble man, and having five kids will humble anybody.
Wow.
But and especially when they're teenagers. Tell me, I've lived that. That I only have three. But I think what it was we had to go through the deal with Scalise and Jordan, and then the next round was Emmer and Emmer and Mike, and then Mike and the four or five that ran finally, and it was one of the things that happens is as you take time to listen to different members and get a little bit about their background, you start to see them in a different light. And you know this; you've been through this with in your political career. And I think it became more and more apparent that he was the guy that we need right now. I think Jim Jordan would have been great, particularly for unifying our base, and that's why I supported him throughout the process, is because our base is fractured.
Yeah.
and we need to pull our base back together. But I think Mike can do that. Jim Jordan will help. I'm going to help. I think the ideas that I just laid out here for changing the preparation process, that has gone out to all of the conservative think tanks around the country and here inside the Beltway. I think with Mike's tremendous communication skills, I think we're going to have a brand new dynamic for how we do things, and he's committed to it. I feel better about being a member of Congress right now than I felt in a long time, to be perfectly honest.
Well, that's huge. Listen, Congressman, I really appreciate you making some last-minute time. Your staff reached out and said you were coming off the floor, and I said, I'll take him if he can come on. This is what our listeners needed to hear, because right now the majority of people don't know Mike Johnson's name, but from what you said, I think they're about to learn a lot more about him.
I'd really like for him to pull up the speech he gave, his acceptance speech, and listen to that. It is absolutely spot on and tremendously inspiring and encouraging. And just listen to that. I think a lot of people are going to be very, very excited about the new Speaker of the House.
Well, Congressman Gary Palmer, thanks for what you do. Thanks for your time today. And we'll stay in touch, all right?
Thanks, Phil.
Thank you. All right, we're taking a break right now, but that was a great opportunity there to just call that a mini-dipper, if you will. We've had some breaking news today. We broke some news today. I may have to just come back after the break and recap what all this show did today, Boomer. I mean, this has been like some more kind of a show. This is one of the reasons why this show exists, I reckon. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. You guys stay tuned. We'll be right back.